Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show, the headquarters of militant moderation, where we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. As the Mandalorian would say, this is the way. I'm John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor for Breitbart News, sitting in for Alan today. This is the first chance I've had to hijack Alan's microphone since the No Kings protest. So I'd like to weigh in on that and possibly be the last person to talk about it. Because, boy, that sank without a trace, didn't it? The No Kings people, these anti-Trump protesters that set up their little dog and pony shows around the country, they were boasting that this was going to be an epochal event that would change history. This was the biggest protest against a sitting president that had ever been undertaken in the history of the universe, and this was going to change the national conversation, and they're completely forgotten. And a couple days later, it's like it never happened. Nobody gives a damn. And there are a couple of reasons why this was such a big flop. And for one thing, first and foremost, just to put the obvious right out there, this whole No Kings temper tantrum was more about rallying the broken, dispirited Democrat base than it was about trying to attract anyone else. If you're not already rabidly anti-Trump in every way, and if you aren't already a shrieking hysteric who think that the end times are upon us and you just want a stage to go act out your grief and angst, and there's nothing there for you. I mean, they weren't trying to persuade you. They were making no reasoned arguments. They weren't even making any good emotional arguments. And there wasn't any real through line to the No Kings protest. There was no agenda. There was no focus. It was just every grievance that they could throw together. Everybody from the Handmaid's Tale cosplayers all the way up to the pro-Hamas lunatics all showed up at the No Kings protest to do their thing. And I don't think the left completely appreciates, maybe some of the power players do behind closed doors, but the people that actually put these shows on, they don't appreciate how repulsive this is to normal people. And I use that word advisedly. It repels them. They look at these dog and pony shows of mixed bag grievances, a lot of which are for things that they don't share. You know, they don't feel those grievances themselves. And they look at the behavior, the criminality. There was violence, there was vandalism at some of these things. And there's nothing here for you if you're a hardworking, middle of the road American, including a Democrat, that isn't happy with Trump being the president. But you look at this protest and you don't see anything that really appeals to you or sways you. So that's a big problem. But one of the other big problems here, the core issue of this No Kings protest, is this idea that Trump is some kind of uniquely authoritarian threat. So No Kings, we don't want Trump to be our king. That's poppycock. You know, the majority of normies out there, this is an 80-20 issue, and the 80% do not think Donald Trump is an authoritarian or anything remotely close to it, even if they don't like him. They might disagree with him. But there's no evidence of authoritarianism. On the contrary, every day, Mr. and Mrs. Normal Voter, the average middle-of-the-road people that you have to persuade if you want to win an election, they get up every day and they log into their favorite news website or whatever they're doing these days for input. And what do they see? Another crazy judge with another lunatic injunction slapped nationwide, even though it's some rinky-dink judge in the middle of nowhere, trying to usurp the powers of the presidency. And so far, none of these provocations has produced any kind of response from Trump. He hasn't slapped the judges down. He hasn't disobeyed them. He could, and maybe he eventually will. They might push him to do that. Some people think he should have done that a long time ago, but he hasn't. He's let these little rinky-dink judges slap their stupid injunctions on his plans, and he waits until it gets to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has slapped them down more often or not and restored the rightful powers of the presidency to Trump. But this is by no stretch authoritarianism or monarchy or a king. This is the opposite of what a monarchy or a king would do. And even people that are not super into politics and are not, real wonks, about this or are not partisan soldiers, those people can look at this and say, well, calling him a king is ridiculous. The only thing I hear every day is that some new judge crawled out of the woodwork with a nationwide injunction, and Trump said okay and waited for the courts to play out. So you can't really sell people on saying that the guy's a king when that's happening every day. And the other thing that's a problem is that the left is authoritarian in nature, very much so. This is deeply ingrained into left-wing politics. They want to be the king. They want to be the Politburo. They want to run everything with sheer authoritarian power. And most people know that. I mean, this is, again, not a wonk issue or a super hyper partisan thing that only people that are totally into politics understand. Average people know that for the last 20, 25, 30 years, the left wing in America has been totalitarian, authoritarian in character. They're constantly canceling people. They don't think free speech really exists. They want to restrict it for people they don't like. And that's not just a couple of kooks. That's the party platform, is that there should be hate speech laws. The Constitution has invisible laws that say you can't have hate speech, which is whatever we don't like. I mean, you can't sell people. You can't trick people into thinking that you're the party of freedom when you're a member of an authoritarian movement that wants to use compulsive force to make people use the correct pronouns for a small group of malcontents. I mean, people instinctively, you know, at a very base level, understand that the left-wing agenda is the coercive one, and look no further than what the Democrats are doing right now. The Democrat Party is desperate, lost, adrift, terrified, looking at polls that say that they're on the 20% end of an endless string of 80-20 issues with the public. So what do? They go out and use force. They attack people. They attack federal agents. They attack immigration agents. They put on stupid little performance art pieces, like this guy that ran at Kristi Noem and started bellowing and had to be wrestled down. I mean, that's authoritarianism, kids. That's the use of force, because persuasion is not working for you. You're not getting anywhere with the voters, so you're going to use force to impose your policy preference. And in the case of the Democrats, one of their big policy preferences is they don't think immigration laws should be enforced. Now, they're not doing this the correct way. They're not doing it the Democratic, the Republican way. They're not trying to win elections. They're not campaigning on a promise to repeal our immigration laws and open our borders, because they'd lose. They know they'd lose. They'd lose in a landslide. So they're not trying to do it the right way. They're trying to do it with compulsive force. They're going to attack ICE agents. They're going to gin up riots. They're going to have their little Antifa goons go out there and hold people hostage inside immigration centers to prevent them from enforcing the law. So that's the authoritarianism, kids. You know, you can run out there and scream no kings till you're blue in the face, but even people that are not deeply engaged in politics look at the antics of the Democrat Party and they see authoritarianism thick in their entire mindset. Everything they do is about forcing their policy agenda on people and not persuading them, not winning votes, not winning elections, not passing laws, just forcing it. And one of the things they're trying to force is that they don't want laws they don't like to be effectively enforced. They think those laws should be waved aside without doing the hard work of actually repealing them. Because again, if they tried that, they'd get obliterated in elections. So they do this nonsense about attacking ICE agents and trying to gin up a panic over immigration enforcement. And Trump is the guy that's actually enforcing the laws. He's not making up new laws. He's not inventing anything out of thin air, as a king would do. He's not waving a royal scepter. He's just enforcing the laws that Joe Biden and the people that made him dance around on strings didn't want to enforce. That's the reason why border crossings. Did you see the article, the numbers the other day that said the border interceptions are essentially zero now? There's basically nobody trying to penetrate the border illegally under Donald Trump. And Joe Biden and his people, they lied to your face and told you that was impossible. There was no way they could secure the border without passing all kinds of bills that have amnesty and all kinds of goodies and giveaways for Democrats. And unless you do that, there's no way. Sorry, chump. We can't do a thing about the border, pal. You're out of luck. And Donald Trump rolls in there and fixes it in like 3 months flat. And now the border interceptions are down to zero. The king was Joe Biden. The king were his handlers, the people that were, you know, let's talk about that. You talk about monarchy and authoritarianism. How about shadowy, unelected people using the senile old man as a meat puppet to hold the Oval Office while they used his auto pen and handed out pardons like candy and defied the law and simply failed to enforce laws that they didn't like. That's the authoritarianism. Everything about the conspiracy to cover up Joe Biden's mental decline was authoritarian in character. I mean, we have a system for dealing with presidents that are sick or incapacitated or mentally incompetent. Biden should have been removed from office. There's a procedure for doing that. They didn't do it. That was the authoritarianism. That was the king. He was a doddering old man that didn't know where he was, but the Democrat Party absolutely treated him like a monarch and kept him in power for its own purposes. So good luck trying to run around and tell people that you're the No Kings Crusaders for Liberty lefties, because absolutely nobody outside of your little bubble is buying it. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. We'll be right back with more of the Alan Nathan Show.
It's no surprise that people love their pets. In fact, 97% of pet owners consider them part of the family. Amazon's Jen Ray has more.
Amazon Pet Day makes caring for your pets easier than ever. The 48-hour sales event features thousands of deals with the convenience of Amazon's fast delivery. Whether you're welcoming a new puppy, upgrading essentials for a senior pet, or looking for products that pamper, there's something for everyone.
Nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have a pet. That's 86.9 million homes.
With so many households having pets, Amazon has something for every pet owner and their furry friends, from trusted basics to exciting new favorites across price points. Plus, Amazon is expanding its pet care offerings, now providing prescription pet medications on Amazon.com through VetSource, a leading pet pharmacy.
On May 13th and 14th, Amazon Pet Day will offer incredible deals, including on our most popular and pet-approved brands, like Purina Pro Plan, Iams, PetSafe, O. Norman, Ring, and more. Learn more at Amazon.com/Pet Day. As the school year winds down, many high school students are thinking ahead to what comes next. For some, that means staying academically engaged over the summer and preparing for the transition to college. Shauna Thayer, CEO of the online education platform Sophia Learning, has more.
Sophia Learning offers college-level courses that students can take at their own pace and are designed to transfer for credit. This summer, we're giving eligible rising high school juniors and seniors free access to 6 college-level courses. It's a great way for students to get a head start, see what college classes are really like, or try something new without the pressure.
A new survey finds that 72% of high school juniors and seniors who plan to attend college in the next 2 years feel they need to go to college to be successful, but 51% want more time to decide on a major.
Preparing for college is exciting, but can come with uncertainty. This program gives students a chance to learn at their own pace, gain confidence, and make informed choices about their future.
Learn more at sophia.org. That's Sophia with a PH.org.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey! We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor at Breitbart News. There are fears that Israel's conflict with Iran will widen in any number of ways, and one of them is the possibility that this will spill into cyberspace. Iran has hackers, and they're fairly accomplished hackers, and there is certainly concern that they're going to begin attacking both Israel and its allies in the electronic realm. Here with us to talk about it is Eric Cole, CEO at Secure Anchor and a former CIA cybersecurity expert. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know Iran's hackers have pulled off some pretty big stunts in the past, so they're definitely capable. Is there any indication that Iran has attempted cyber espionage yet in this conflict?
Yes, there is. And you nailed it. If you look at the top four nations when it comes to cyber warfare and cyber attack, it's Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. That they are up in the top four. And what happened in the last 24 hours, Iran shut down their internet access. They basically blocked all access, which is basically what you do when you prepare for war. Because if you're not connected to the internet, the adversary can't target back at you and attack you. So they're basically preparing for cyber attacks.
Well, it probably also was a factor in their thinking that they don't want their own people to rise up, so they need to shut down the internet to hold off organized protests against the regime now that it's looking weak.
Exactly. There's many, many reasons for it. And then the other interesting twist to this story is Elon Musk actually got involved because of his satellites, and he's actually opened up satellite access to Iran. So now we have an interesting situation where traditional internet access is blocked, like you said, to control citizens, control attacks. But the Iranian government now has access to satellites that they can give to their hacking groups to specifically target certain countries.
The Iranians have been hinting that they're going to do something big against Israel and its allies, including the United States. They tease that last night would be a night that would change the course of history and be remembered for centuries. And as far as we can tell, nothing actually happened. But there is some concern that what they're talking about could be a cyber espionage exploit. Maybe they don't have a dirty bomb or anything like that, but they could launch a major cyber attack against Israel or the U.S. in places where our infrastructure is weak.
You are spot on. And if you look at history, in cybersecurity, we track something called APTs, or Advanced Persistent Threats. And two Iranian Advanced Persistent Threat, APT 33 and 34, they've already hit oil rigs. They've already gone in and taken down nuclear reactors in small countries. And they've already taken control of infrastructure like water and electricity. So they've already proven that they have these nuclear cyber weapons. And you're right. The question isn't if they're going to. The question is when and who are they going to hit.
A few years ago, there was a rash of weird incidents in the United States where things like water power companies were suffering bizarre failures. Some of it was definitely considered hacking. Others were suspected of being hacking. Are those vulnerabilities still there? Were those probing attacks? And are we still vulnerable in critical infrastructure to a major cyber heist?
We are very, very vulnerable. And it's what we actually call soft targets, because they're just so easy and so vulnerable. So in the United States, some of our big soft targets are transportation, financial services, water, and energy. And just imagine the impact that has if they go in and overchlorinate our water, the sicknesses and deaths that could potentially have. What if they go in and shut down our train systems or shut down air traffic control? We've already seen in Newark, they're already having trouble with air traffic control on their own. Iran just has to put a little pressure on that system, and that air traffic control system can collapse very, very quickly.
Do you think there are measures being taken to oppose that? Do we have crisis teams up and ready for any Iranian mischief?
Unfortunately, I wish I had a better answer, but we are just ill-prepared to handle that. We do have some very talented people in government, private sector, and the military, but we are just not prepared for a massive attack against our soft targets. A small attack, yes, but a massive attack, we just don't have the resources because we've been so focused on offensive, we don't really have enough defensive measures in place.
Now, Iran was the target of one of the most fabled cyber attacks in history, the Stuxnet virus some years ago, and it seems like the Israeli physical kinetic action against their nuclear program is a concession that we can't pull anything like that off again. That slowed them down by many years in their quest for a nuclear bomb, but it seems like this time there was no cyber option and it had to be bombs.
Right, and there's two key pieces with that is because we've already attacked their nuclear infrastructure, and that was many, many years ago, they're defended. That will never be an option for us to go after it. But here's the more chilling part. They have the exploit. When you break in and you exploit somebody's nuclear reactor, the malicious code is on their system. So basically, Iran has the malicious code that we used to break into their nuclear reactor, and they can now use it against us to cause harm. And my concern is, if you read recently, Trump is saying that we might launch missiles or physical aggression against Iran. And if we do that, that is most definitely going to trigger cyber response, not physical response.
One of the last cards Iran may have left to play is closing the Strait of Hormuz and menacing shipping, you know, in the Persian Gulf. And that might be something difficult for them to do physically because their little navy isn't as long if we target it. But they could do a lot of electronic cyber damage to international shipping if they have their hackers positioned correctly.
Exactly, because what we fail to realize is those shipping channels are all run on computers. All of those boats and how they process and track, all the logistics are all done by computers. So if they go in and they start messing or taking down those systems, it could have major devastation. And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is exploiting a system and taking it over is hard. Doing a denial of service attack where you just make it unavailable is very easy and simple to do. And all they have to do is take those computers offline by overloading them with too many packets. And if they can't communicate with the boats, that's basically going to be just as devastating as bombs or physical weapons.
The last time the Iranian regime looked as shaky as it does today was in 2009. Iranians were very angry about a rigged election. They were in the streets. It looked like the regime was tottering. And that was largely credited to Twitter. Twitter was supposed to have been a key element of Iranians organizing and pulling off those protests, and they were ultimately violently suppressed and the regime remained in power. Is that another scenario that could happen? Could Iranians begin organizing using firewalls to get around regime blockage? Or have Iran and other totalitarian regimes just gotten too good at shutting down the internet?
You nailed it. Social media has not only become a great resource, but it is a weapon. I mean, when you look at the amount of people and how quickly you can get information out there and how quickly you can organize protests and private hacking groups, you nailed that social media is a huge weapon in this attack, especially with Elon being so political with X or Twitter. You're going to have a lot of outside groups. And that's the part that scares me, is not necessarily what the Iranians are going to do, but you're going to have groups of activists that are not going to like the United States for some of the statements that were made about Iran and the president losing tolerance with Iran and potentially attacks, that those groups are going to form against us.
That's really two closely related spheres, information war and cyber war. And those two go hand in hand in the modern environment. So I think we have yet to see what kind of a decisive role both of those will play in the outcome of this contest. Eric Cole, CEO at Secure Anchor and a former CIA cybersecurity expert. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor for Breitbart News. We'll be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and ADK.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor at Breitbart News. The Senate is holding hearings today on the cover-up of President Joe Biden's cognitive decline, and the Democrats have declined to show up for those hearings, which is not surprising. I mean, what were they going to do? They got caught red-handed perpetrating a gigantic lie on the American people, and the American people are still hopping mad about it. And the Democrats' only hope is that this goes away. They're just trying to outlast the story and hope that events will make everybody forget how they lied and lied and lied to keep Joe Biden in office. So some reporter actually bothered to ask Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, why they were skipping the hearing.
And Schumer's answer was, Americans don't care about the Biden cognitive decline cover-up. We have hungry children to feed. Which is just pathetic. I mean, absolutely pathetic. This is a dying party that's just belching out whatever crazy nonsense comes into their head and frantically trying to play the same cards that used to work for them 40 years ago over and over and over again and desperately hoping to change the subject. Americans do care about the decline of Joe Biden, and they care about it for several reasons. And one of them is that they're scared to death that a senile old man was in the White House for years, and the entire media and Democrat Party establishment lied in unison to protect this guy. And people are angry that it's so obvious that the Democrat Party and the media are one and the same. Now, anybody who pays attention knows that. They know the media works for the Democrats, or if you prefer, as I've heard some commentators say lately, it might be better to say the Democrats work for the media. The media wants to be the real power running the country, and the Democrats are their political instrument through which they wield power. And one way they keep Democrats in office is to spin the news outrageously to their benefit. But, I mean, it's pretty obvious if you study the news at all how heavily biased it is towards the Democrats. But really, you don't want normal people, average folks, regular, hardworking people who aren't news junkies. You don't want those people sitting around at the sports bar and saying, damn, Democrats and the media, they're the same. There's no difference. And they all lied to keep Joe Biden in power. That's not a good story for either the Democrats or the media. Have the media learned anything from the Joe Biden debacle? That's the other reason people are still mad about this. It's not just a Democrat Party story, although it is. It's a media story. And it's a story about the media failing at a deep, comprehensive level in its basic duty, the duty the media is constantly asserting. They're always describing themselves as the gatekeepers of truth, the courageous firefighters who bring you the facts, hard-hitting investigative reporting. And their current story is that Joe Biden and his handlers made monkeys out of all of them by lying to them and manipulating them. And it was easy because they're stupid. And that's the story they would rather present to you than admit that they knew Joe Biden was dead upstairs years ago. And they just lied because they're Democrat operatives, first and foremost, and they needed to maintain the power of the party. And they didn't like the thought of what was going to happen if Joe Biden got removed from office. So this is a media story, too. And the media has not learned any lessons. I am sorry to inform you, comes as a surprise to you, that the media has learned nothing. Here's an example of why. Do you know who Randy Weingarten is? Randy Weingarten is the president of the American Federation of Teachers, which means she's one of the people that wrecked education over the last 30 years. She's one of the reasons why you're paying through the nose for a crappy public education that's an absurd joke compared to the rest of the world. And most parents are willing to pay anything to get their kids out of public schools. So it's Randy Weingarten and her teachers union are one of the reasons for that. She, more than any other single person, is the reason schools closed down during COVID. She was the one that fought tooth and nail to keep those schools closed for several reasons, one of which is that she wanted to hurt Donald Trump. She knew that this would be bad for Trump, who was the president at the time, and she wanted to keep the schools closed as a political maneuver to keep people angry. Well, it suddenly turned out the other day that Randy Weingarten all along has been a top official at the Democratic National Committee. She's one of the top people over at the DNC. And the media just never bothered to tell you that. They've been quoting her for days, putting her front and center in their coverage. And they always invariably described her as the head of the teachers union, the American Federation of Teachers, or they would call her an educator or something of the sort. But never once did they tell you she's a top shill for the Democratic National Committee. She's one of their officers. And she resigned. So that's why this became a story. She resigned because she has some differences with whoever's running the show over at the DNC these days, and she's out. But she's been working as the top dog at the DNC for 23 years, and the media never told you. They never once introduced her that way or told you that you were listening to a top official in the Democrat Party when you heard from Randy Weingarten. They had no intention of ever telling you that she was a top officer of this dying party that's become so repulsive to the American people. They were forced to admit it because she resigned and they had to write the story that she's leaving. This is horrible. I mean, it's just another example of how degenerate the media has become, how you can't trust them to give you important information. I have heard the term anti-journalism. I don't know who coined it, but I've seen it thrown around as the word for what we're getting right now. They're not even just bad journalists, as if that wouldn't be bad enough. They're anti-journalists now, because they see their job as preventing you from knowing things that would be harmful to the left and the Democrat Party. Their top job when they get up every morning is to suppress news that would hurt their party. And they're not doing a very good job of it because their party is in really bad shape. Anti-journalism, the opposite of what journalists are supposed to be doing. And I would submit that concealing Randy Weingarten's true identity for decades would be a great example of anti-journalism, one of the softer examples, really, if you get right down to it. Here's another thing the media is still doing wrong. They're still trying to frame every story to absurd extents in a way that will help or not hurt the Democrats. And there's a great example in the Supreme Court's latest decision. The Supreme Court hands down a decision that upheld a Tennessee ban on gender transition surgery. And this is 80-20 isn't really the right term for this. This is more like a 90-10 issue. 90% of the American people favor banning transgender surgeries. They're very uneasy about transgender surgery. They don't want kids doing it without proper permission. They don't think it should be government funded. They're afraid that it's being pushed on kids. This is the closest thing to a Titanic majority issue in America today, one of those things. And here's how the Washington Post reports it. This is their lead in their story. Breaking news. A divided Supreme Court cleared the way for states to ban certain gender transition treatments for minors. A polarizing national issue the Trump administration has seized on in initiatives targeting transgender rights. What poppycock? What absolute rot? It's not polarizing. It's unifying. The entire country is united against transgender treatments for minors and really the entire transgender agenda. People are coming together as never before to just say they're fed up with men playing women's sports and they're fed up with 57 pronouns and they've had it up to here. It's not polarizing. The Washington Post only think it's polarizing because it hurts Democrats. To them, you know, the Dems are on the 20% side of an 80-20 issue and that makes it polarizing and divisive. And why Trump, he's seizing, those Republicans, they're seizing and pouncing on this divisive issue. No, they're not. The other side started this fight. The transgender activists are the ones that came after everybody else with everything they've been shoving down our throats for years. And people are just tired of it. And they voted for people who ran on opposing this lunacy. And those people are now doing what they promised. In other words, the opposite of monarchy for you confused no kings dupes out there who still don't get it. I mean, this is something that is making its way to the court, the political system and legal system in the proper way. And it's coming up to a gigantic legal and public consensus against extreme transgenderism. But nope, not to the media. To the media, this is polarizing and divisive. And why are we even still talking about all of this? Another thing that just happened is that one of these crazy federal judges handing down a Nutburger injunction struck again the other night. And they blocked the administration from restricting passports to male and female, because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to say passports have to have just male and female as boxes on them. And this judge, this crazy judge, pops up and says, no, you can't do that. Well, that infringes on transgender rights. You got to have 7,000 checkboxes on those things for all the things that people might be, blah, blah, blah. It's lunacy. It's insanity. This judge is literally ordering the federal government to allow people to put inaccurate information on their passports because it satisfies their gender dysphoria. So if you're male, that he wants you to be able to mark something else on your passport because you don't feel like identifying yourself as male. I mean, that's crazy. It's crazy, and it's the opposite of what something like a passport, which is a pretty important piece of documentation, is supposed to do. And so, of course, the media framing around this is that this righteous judge is standing up for gender rights. Nonsense. This is another 80-20 issue. I bet if you took a poll on this, you'd get closer to 90% of the public that thinks it's ridiculous that passports wouldn't say male or female, period. Because part of what they're supposed to do is identify you. And when people are checking your papers, they're supposed to look up and see that it's you. And if the passport's information is inaccurate and says you're a woman when you're a man, that interferes with its basic purpose. But all of this is divisive to the media. because they're always pretending that the left is on defense, when instead the left has been on offense for decades, and they're simply losing the power to wage those battles against us. I'm John Hayward, sitting in for Alan today. We'll be right back with more of the Alan Nathan Show.
Planning a summer road trip? You're not alone. Over 75% of Americans are hitting the road this season. But before you pack the snacks and playlists, make sure your car and your car insurance are road trip ready. Start with a full vehicle checkup. Brakes, oil, tires, wipers. Pack an emergency kit. Learn how to change a tire and bring a backup map because GPS is not always reliable out there. Understanding your coverage is important as well. Although many people think they understand their insurance, a recent survey found 96% of drivers misunderstood at least one part of their policy. And that's where The General can help. With our app, you can review your policy, file a claim fast, or get a quote in 2 minutes or less. At The General, our mission is to give people a break when they need it most. And that's why we've made managing your car insurance easier, faster, and smoother, so you can stay focused on the road ahead. Planning a trip? Visit thegeneral.com so you can hit the road with confidence.
With the cost of living rising dramatically, budgets are tight and customers are looking for ways to stretch their dollars. T-Mobile has launched two new experience plans, adding industry-leading value and savings, plus a 5-year price guarantee, so customers can rest assured that the price of their talk, text, and data stays the same. The Experience Beyond plan includes over $200 in added value for every line every month, with satellite connectivity, yearly device upgrades, and an entertainment streaming bundle that includes Apple TV+, Hulu, Netflix, and more. For more information, visit t-mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Well, I'm your guest host today, John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor with Breck News. Joining us now is Lee Shai Limish, Master of Ceremonies and narrator for Shen Yung, a touring company that is severely disliked, shall we say, by the Chinese Communist government. Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show.
Hi, how are you?
Your group is a great example of how the Chinese Communist Party is projecting power overseas in an attempt to suppress dissent, to tamp down groups it doesn't like, to meddle in the politics of other countries. You've felt the effects of Chinese transnational repression here, and a lot of people are looking and seeing the hand of China in things like the LA riots, the No Kings protests, pretty much anywhere where money could buy dissent, the Chinese can be found signing checks.
Yeah, what I think is becoming more and more clear recently, last few years, is that the CCP really has a plan for global dominance. And that plan does not involve happy Americans. And we've seen that in so many aspects of our lives, from its support and manufacturing of fentanyl and money laundering associated with that, to what it did with COVID, to supporting various organizations that sow discord in our society here. Trying to manipulate our media. And so we've had a front row seat to all of that. And we've been saying this for years. In the beginning, people didn't really quite believe us. They thought we're making stuff up. But in our group, we have a lot of people who escape persecution in China. So Shen Yun Performing Arts, we're based in New York, but it's a performance of traditional Chinese culture. It's a revival of traditional Chinese culture. China before communism, you've seen our billboards, which are kind of everywhere, is our tagline. It's also what we're all about. And so the majority of the performers are ethnic Chinese, and many of them escaped persecution in China. They lived through the Cultural Revolution there. They lived through all the political campaigns. They know how the system works and how lies and deceit and violence are a big part of how the regime there works. And so they're very skeptical of anything that they hear coming out of China. And so they saw the signs for this right away. And we, for example, when we perform, now we're getting death threats. We're getting bomb threats. We got one at the Kennedy Center. And these are just hoaxes. They're just scare tactics. But that's a part of the strategy of what the CCP has been trying to do to silence us. The other things include cyber hacking, includes threatening to have economic repercussions for the theaters or cities where we perform, threatening family members back in China, slashing our tires. That happened here in America on buses in a very dangerous way, and just goes on and on and on, especially trying to influence the media narratives. And I think it's very easy to just see an article and think, oh, this is news from China or about China. But there's actually a lot of manipulation behind the scenes that the CCP does to try to determine what we consume in the media.
Why is the CCP so determined to suppress your performances? Surely they don't deny that there was classical Chinese culture before the founding of the Communist Party.
Yeah, and they try to usurp it and claim that the Communist Party is the ultimate arbiter and representative of 5,000 years of civilization. But the truth is, actually, the first thing it did when it came to power in 1949 was set out to wipe out traditional culture. And it almost completely succeeded in doing that. And the reason for that is because they were bringing in this ideology from the Soviet Union of Marxism and atheism and Leninism and Stalinism, and they added Maoism and other things. But it's an ideology that does not believe in consequences. It's very utilitarian. It's whatever this material in front of you is, just try to have a happier, more stable life, and that's it. There's nothing spiritual. There's no point of morality or virtue or anything like that. And that's why you have this kind of the ends justifies the means mentality, where you can steal intellectual property and you can hurt other people left and right as long as it's good for you. And traditional Chinese culture, as is the traditional culture around the world, is one of believing that what goes around comes around, be it karma or our Judeo-Christian traditions of heaven and hell or reincarnation in the East. And Chinese have these sayings too. They say, you know, 3 feet above one's head, there are divine beings watching everything you do. And good is rewarded and evil is punished. And that was a tradition that was there for thousands of years. And of course, the Communist Party can get people to do what they say if people actually believe that what they do has consequences. And so they're afraid of Shinyun bringing back all of this.
Chinese state media is very obsessed with anything they see as a divisive issue or a weak point in Western culture, particularly American culture. Whenever they see people are unhappy or angry or there's a riot or a protest, they're all over it. And it naturally leads to the suspicion that they are funding some of this unrest because they think this is a real problem, a weakness with Western culture that they can exploit.
Yeah, so if you talk to people who come out of China and they visit the U.S., they're shocked by how calm and just normal life things are here, because what they're getting in the news is there's mass shootings and violence every day. You can walk on the street, you might be kidnapped at any moment. There's riots, burning police cars, you know, blacks and Caucasians don't get along. You know, just they're shocked by this because that's what they're led to believe. And not to say that we don't have issues in this country, we certainly do, but they like to make it a lot bigger than it is, and they like to actually cause that to be a reality because it's a divide and conquer mentality, which has been part of, look, the art of war, that the Chinese strategy book was written 2,500 years ago. They're masters of trying to do all these various tricks to weaken the enemy. And the leadership of the Communist Party, for all of their suit wearing and peace talks, they actually have a long-term plan of dominating the world under the Communist Party flag. That's been a plan in place for decades. And they see themselves as being the ones to do it. And so they don't mind killing tens of thousands of people through a fentanyl epidemic. They don't mind sending people from Wuhan all over the world with COVID while they have a lockdown. And they don't mind sowing discord in our streets and interfering in other ways in our lives. And so that's what we've seen with Shenyun. We've seen on a day-to-day basis, we got like 135 death threats, bomb threats, mass shooting threats, just this last tour alone. It's a common thing. But we actually are very hopeful because we believe that ultimately truth and bringing things to light and holding on to tradition and to kindness and uniting will overcome all of this. And we also know that the Chinese people, the Chinese people on the street are on our side. We get emails, just got one today from China saying, when are you coming to perform in China? Here's my phone number. Call us when you get there. We're on your side. We can't wait for Shenyun to come to China. So we're hopeful for the future, but in the meantime, it's a battle.
The infamous Chinese police stations are coming back in the news, where they have these overseas operations in the U.S. and Canada and Europe, and they're secret police stations. And they're basically designed to keep an eye on Chinese people living abroad and make sure they toe the Communist Party line. And one of their major ways of getting you into compliance with them is to threaten your family. If you have people you left back home in China, they'll tell you your family's going to suffer if you don't straighten up and fly right. Is that a big problem? Are some of your performers exposed to things like that? And do you have strategies for combating those techniques?
Yeah, certainly our performers and their family members in China sadly have experienced this. The typical story is just anybody who joins our company or speaks out in any way about the Chinese regime in a way that even Americans would consider just commentary on politics is blacklisted, can't go back to China. And, you know, people can't go back to see their family members. But yeah, we've had family members arrested back in China, being given talks and threats, and to try to get them to stop speaking out here in America.
Li Shai Limish, Master of Ceremonies and narrator for Shenyun, thank you very much for joining us. I'm John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor for Breitbart News, sitting in for Alan today. Thanks very much for joining us on this hour of the Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.